The hour of 1 o'clock having arrived, I call the meeting of the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. A quorum is present. Representative Frederick, have you had a chance to look at the minutes from our last meeting?
I have. I move the minutes from March 24th, Mr. Chair.
Rep. Frederick moves the minutes for March 24th, 2025. Unless there are objections, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Representative Vang, if you could move to the testifying table. House File 2784. Rep. Bain, would you like to move that House File 2784 to be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill? When you're ready.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move that House File 2784 be laid over for possible inclusion. This is a rather simple bill. It is a data report that we already do for the Farmland Down Payment Assistance Program. I think as we continue to look into supporting the next generation of farmers, I think it'd be helpful to see who is accessing these loans. Oftentimes, barriers of entries to new and beginning farmers are first land access and then second financial capital. And so the beginning farmer loan is already a great resource for many of these new and beginning farmers. So having more information on how well these programs are working will help us as elected officials create better opportunities for these farmers. And with that, Mr. Chair, that is my introduction, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chair Vang. It doesn't look like we have any scheduled testifiers, but is there anyone in the audience or in the public who would like to testify for or against this bill? Doesn't look like it, so we'll move to questions from members. Members, any questions about the bill? All right, looks like any further discussion, Chair Vang, would you like to close out on this bill?
Just want to thank the committee for their time in considering this bill. And I will move that House File 2784 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Representative Vang. Representative Vang removes her motion that House File 2784 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill. The bill is laid over. Representative Vang, go ahead and stay there. We have another bill. Would you like to move House File 2785 to be laid over for possible inclusion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 2785 be laid over for possible inclusion. This bill does about two things. One is moving unspent funds, the $4 million from Dairy with an Eye program to Farm to School. As former Ag Chair, I was proud to allocate this amount in the last biennium for dairy farmers in hopes of Congress passing a farm bill. But it's been 2 years now, and it seems unlikely that a farm bill will be passed. And so this money is just sitting in the bank. And so as we are going through some economic uncertainty, I think it is better to invest this unspent funds into Farm to School. And so that's the first part of the bill. The second part of the bill is to do some policy requirement changes to the program, which I understand needs a little bit more work due to the quick turnaround. I wasn't able to work with advocates on fine-tuning this bill, but the idea behind this policy change really is to introduce a new market for our most vulnerable farmers. Many of our small producers, as we all heard, utilizes the federal program for the local food purchasing assistance grants, which allows food shelves to purchase, or food shelves and food hubs to purchase from our small local producers in hopes of feeding hungry Minnesotans. And as we all have heard previously, that federal program is in jeopardy. And so our local small producers aren't able to access the funds. And so this policy change is in hopes to introduce a new market that schools can participate in purchasing food from our local producers as well. And that is really the high overview and direction of the intention behind making some of these policy changes within the farm-to-school program. And so I'm happy to take any testimony and questions from the committee.
Thank you, Representative Vang. Once again, we don't have anyone scheduled, but is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on this bill? Anyone from the department? Does not look like it, so we'll move to member questions and general discussion. Representative Lawrence, why don't you kick us off?
Mr. Chair, thank you very much, and I'm just going to probably ask some technical questions. You're taking $4 million from the dairy program. How much money is in the, and I'm kind of thinking, I'm just, but how many dollars are in the food to, what'd you call it? The
farm to school.
Farm to school. Thank you. Farm to school program as of right now, before the additional.
Chair Vang.
Mr. Chair, I think this would be best answered by nonpartisan staff.
Absolutely. Mr. Savory, can you help us out with that question?
Chair and members, referring to the bill, you'll see on line 12.1. Mm-hmm. On page 12, you'll see that the number $1,275,000 is deleted, it's crossed out, and replaced by $5,275,000. So what the bill is doing is taking the $4 million from dairy and reincorporating it into the farm-to-school, farm-to-institution program. So the original base is $1,275,000.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Lawrence.
Yeah. Oh, I turned it the wrong way. Thank you, everybody, again, Mr. Chair. How many of those dollars were, maybe this might be a department question, how many of those dollars were used in this last biennium, and how much more demand did you have that you turned away?
Mr. Savory, do you have that? Is that a department question? Ms. Fable, would you like to comment? Looks like Mr. Savory has something. Go ahead.
Chair and members, we're still within the FY25 biennium. So the actual hard close of FY25 has not yet occurred, but I think maybe the department could comment on FY24 as a potential comparison.
Department, do you want to answer? All right, we do have someone from the department coming up to answer the question. When you're ready, go ahead and state your name for the record, and then get to Representative Lawrence's question.
Kate Siebold. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the most recent round of grants, fiscal year 25, we received $1.58 million in requests from 73 applicants for that $1.275 in funding.
Excellent. Thank you. That's just what we're looking for. Representative Lawrence, follow up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. No applicants were turned away at this point in time. All were fulfilled, or all the requests were met.
Ms. Siebold?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we're currently in the process of awarding those funds, but we intend to be awarding the full amount out to our recipients. We haven't announced the full number yet.
Okay.
Representative Lawrence.
Mr. Chair, follow up for Representative Vang. It kind of seems like, and we've had a lot of talk in this committee about as far as spending money, in what areas we're going to be short here, we might be short there, and it may be, I don't know, a little presumptive to say we need $4 million in this program specifically. I'm not against increasing the program, but why all $4 million right here, right now, when we do, we all know we're going to have some other issues as we go forward and needs as we go forward, if you might comment on that.
Good question, Rep. Lawrence. And just a confirmation, this is moving funds that were already allocated in 2023.
Correct.
So just clarify that. Chair Vang?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is in conjunction with the increase, in conjunction with the policy changes. I anticipate that if we were to increase more participation with the policy language that I'm trying to do, I figured there'd probably be needed more funds to incentivize schools to participate. Otherwise, I mean, I'm open to talking about, if it's not $4 million, we can right-size the amount for the program, but I anticipate that if we are going to increase participation and have more local producers be a part of this program, then I anticipate more increased funding.
Okay.
Representative Lawrence.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vang. And I guess, according to what I understand, the department didn't ask for an increase of $4 million for this program at this point in time. We're just looking to award $4 million into this specific program. And I guess I think you used a great term, to right size. I guess I would encourage us to take a more serious look and find the right size. It may be $2 million. It could very well be four, but I'd rather have the department come and say there's this need than just award the money directly to that program immediately. I guess that's more of a comment. Thank you.
Seems like a comment. Ms. Siebold or anyone, would you like to respond to that? No need to. Okay, wonderful. Any other members would like comments or questions? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Smith and Representative Vang. I've got a question on when you're looking at, I think it's line 12.21, looking at who is eligible to be able to sell into this. I'd go back up and look up at, you know, the statute of 17.133. And so it's, you know, it's limited land access. And, you know, looking at the individuals that, you know, it's either you could rent or lease a farm, or you could rent or lease from an incubator farm. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, if you're sourcing 70% of the food, you know, for the school program from this, you know, how many people are current, or how many farms currently are in that, you know, would fit into that, you know, the limited access? And is that going to be enough to be able to sell $4 million, or $5 million worth of food out of this? I think that that might be a big, big ask on here. I'm just wondering.
Representative Vang, would you like to take that question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, this eligibility requirements I took from the local food purchasing grants from the federal programs, and I know that it's the current language right now still needs more work, as we are looking to see whether this is a requirement that. Yes, that is a question, whether local food producers can be able to provide that food, and whether schools are able to purchase the raw food and be able to meet this requirement. And I'm open to further fixing this language. However, the idea behind this is that I want schools and the local farmers to consider a new market, that this is a potential space that they can go into and build that sustainability rather than relying on federal funding that's often in question in terms of hard times. So this will be a sustainable new market for our local farmers, should they be able to tap into this.
Representative Nelson.
Yeah, kind of follow up on it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering, you know, do you know how many farms would, you know, currently there are that really fit into this category of, you know, what the limited market access, or I guess it's not really because point F is the limited market access, but, you know, how many are there that really fall into this category E? You know, are there enough farms to be able to, you know, are you hoping to grow this number? Or, I mean, that's probably one question, but then also, how many farms are there currently that, you know, fit under, you know, subdivision E?
Yeah.
Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have an exact number. I can only base off how many producers are using the local food purchasing assistance grants, and I think that's about 200 producers.
About 200.
But I'm not sure if that includes, like, the food hubs as
okay.
well. Yeah.
Anyone else with comments or questions, member questions? Doesn't look like it. I'll just take a moment to say thank you for this bill. I made comments a couple weeks ago about how important it is for us to have farm-to-food programs funded, especially when we're losing some federal funding. So thank you for starting this conversation in this bill. Closing comments, Representative Vang.
I just want to thank the committee for their time again and for the questions. I know that the policy part of this program needs a little bit more work to it, but I'm open to continuing that work. Just with a quick turnaround, we haven't been able to fine-tune that. But still happy to work with bettering this language and look forward to the committee's support.
Representative Vang renews her motion that House File 2785 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill. The bill is laid over. I joked before the start of the committee with Vice Chair Harder that we are in charge today, but in actuality, we do need our chairs here to continue with business today. So we are going to briefly go into recess until Chair Hansen has returned, and with him, hopefully, Chair Anderson. So we are in recess.
I'm assuming the two chairs are fighting it out. Cameron's going to go for it. I'm assuming the chairs and maybe the department are... Wish me luck, guys. I just bid on a combine that I wasn't planning to.
Those are always fun. Just
no, until my wife finds out.
Get a combine.
What? That's a Case IH. 7010.
Okay. What year would that be?
It's a 2008. I doubt I'll get it. Doesn't close for another few hours. It's valued way under, yeah. If I get it at the price I bid it on, I'll be doing cartwheels, I think, unless there's something really wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, it should be worth that much in salvage, so.
Do you have any change with it?
Well, that's the next problem. Boy, you're like my wife now.
What year is your current combine?
92. It's a 1660.
Yeah.
What do you have? Do you have red?
Yes, yeah, 1640.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out, too, if I upgrade. What year did they change the heater housing?
Yeah, they've got a... Well, in what they, this 7010, that's the flagship, but you can get a
adapter.
You can get a legacy, they call it legacy, can get a legacy feeder house for them, or adapter on the front, so.
Yeah, but it'd be nice to have a feeder.
Yeah. I'd be very shocked if I ended up with that.
Hey,
if the stars align, I guess.
Thank you.
Have they done both? Did they do both the bang bills?
All right, we have our chairs back, so we are going to reconvene. Next bill on the calendar is House File 2778 by Chair Hansen. Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 2778 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill.
Has been moved. Possible inclusion. Whenever you're ready, Chair Hansen, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2778 is a bill relating to doing additional research from the MNPRO section, the Prion Research Center, which was originally funded through a GREET at the University of Minnesota. And I have with me Dr. Peter Larson and Dr. Stuart Lichtenberg to testify in support of the bill. I asked them and we have the fact sheet in your packet, and the cost for this particular item is $371,000.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Testifiers Dr. Larson, Dr. Lichtenberg, if you'd like to move forward. When you find your seats, please identify yourselves for the record, and when you're ready, please testify to the bill.
Peter Larson.
Stuart Siegfried Lichtenberg.
Dr. Larson, when you're ready.
Chair Anderson, Chair Hansen, honorable members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm an associate professor at the University of Minnesota. I co-direct the University of Minnesota Center for Prion Research and Outreach. I'm also an AGREET faculty member, and I grew up on a small farm in southeastern South Dakota. We are here to discuss an emerging issue that has the potential to negatively impact our state's agricultural sector. Chronic wasting disease remains a growing concern in Minnesota. It is now endemic in the southeast, and its impact on our environment and food systems is not fully understood. CWD-positive animals shed prions into the environment daily, and these prions can remain infectious in the soil for long periods of time, perhaps longer than 16 years. Recent lab experiments conducted by several teams across the United States have documented that CWD prions in soil can be uptaken by plants, including a variety of vegetable and commodity crops. And they can remain infectious in those plant tissues. This research also shows that CBD prions may negatively impact plant growth and yield. As CWD continues to spread throughout Minnesota with regional herd prevalence rates rising, our agricultural sector will become increasingly vulnerable to CWD-associated concerns. This is why it is essential that we invest in the research to understand the threat of prion uptake by plants, including commodities. Many critical questions remain unanswered. For instance, do different varieties of crops preferentially absorb prions? Are forage or grain crops more or less likely to uptake CWD prions? Are there pathways that we can target to effectively prevent CWD prion uptake in commodities? As one of the nation's top prion research centers, our University of Minnesota MinPro team is uniquely equipped to tackle these questions. Our team includes experts in prion soil interactions, crop cultivation, and prion remediation, and we consistently deliver high-impact research with strong returns on investment. By supporting this research, you will be aiding the development of a crucial strategies that will help protect Minnesota's agricultural sector from CWD. Without this research, we will risk unforeseen consequences over the coming years that could compromise food safety and market confidence. By investing in this critical work now, you'll help safeguard our state's agricultural future and will position Minnesota as a national leader in addressing this emerging challenge. Thank you for your time and consideration. We are happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Dr. Larson. Dr. Lichtenberg, did you want to add anything?
Nothing at this time.
Okay, great. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against this bill? Doesn't appear so. Representative Hansen, would you like to say anything before we move to member questions?
No, we can proceed to questions.
Okay. Any questions from the committee for this bill? Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier, Dr. Larson, my first thought was this is a deer problem, not a farm problem. Wouldn't this be better funding coming out of from DNR?
Chair Anderson, members.
No, go ahead. I just want to make sure we're going through the chair. Go ahead, Dr. Larson.
Chair Anderson, members of the committee. It really is an ag problem, and the reason why is when a deer is infected with CWD, those prions are shed in its urine, in its feces, into the environment. And we know, based on some of the research that Dr. Lichtenberg has done, that those prions can remain in that soil for many years. There is research that those prions can be uptaken, showing they can be uptaken in commodities like alfalfa. Growing up on a farm, when you see a herd of deer on the edge of an alfalfa field, and if 60% of those deer are positive for CWD, there's a lot of prions being put into the environment in that corner of the alfalfa field. That first cutting of hay, is there prions in that bale? Where does that bale go? We already know that outbreaks in some cervid farming practices have been implicated, or hay bales have been implicated in those outbreaks of CWD. So the research community has already identified commodities as a potential concern, hence the bill.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're talking about research into the prions. What about research into eradicating the disease? I haven't heard you mention that yet.
You want to talk, Dr. Larson? Dr. Lichtenberg, would you like to answer that?
So there is ongoing research into things like vaccines and other technologies that can address CWD. We're still fairly far off from that at this point. Some of my work is actually looking at addressing prions in the environment and how we can remediate them. That is one thing we are interested in pursuing in research in this. To what extent can we eliminate prions that have been taken up by plants? Again, this bill is mainly intended to address the questions of, can prions be taken up by plants, and do they remain infectious in plants? And are there differences that can be seen in the uptake in these plants, rather than addressing greater problems of eradicating the disease and whatnot?
Chair Anderson.
One final follow-up. Looking online this morning, and we've heard so much about federal money being withheld, but back in November, the Center for Prion Research and Outreach received about a $480,000 grant. Is that going for this type of research as well?
Dr. Larson?
Chair Anderson, members of the committee, a $480,000 grant in November. I do not believe that was our research center.
No, I think you might be referring to the APHIS funding.
So that would be funding?
So that was funding for a variety of projects that our center was undertaking. Do not believe there was any plant-related research associated with that funding. That funding came from USDA APHIS and is specifically focused on control of the disease from the perspective of wildlife. Again, the key difference here is that this bill focuses on what will the impacts be on agriculture. So we're less interested in the deer themselves and what the implications of the disease will be in agricultural products.
Chair Anderson. Any other questions? Chair Hansen, would you like to close out on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Minnesota has been a leader in prion research. We have invested everything from translating information to a variety of languages for hunters to looking at the impact in butcher shops with prion retention. And here we are, and the reason we have this bill, a relatively small investment to be looking at plant uptake and what are those consequences potentially for crops. So I think it's a worthy investment, and I'd ask for your support. And I would renew my motion that House File 2778 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Chair Hansen has renewed his motion that House File 2778 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill, and the bill is laid over. Next bill up is House File 2579, which is also a Chair Hansen bill. Chair Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would move that House File 2579 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill.
Chair Hansen has moved his bill. Chair Hansen, when you're ready, please speak to your bill. Tell us what it's about.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2579, members, we have had multiple presentations and multiple bill introductions, not only in this committee, but relating to transparency and oversight in other committees and on the floor of the House. And agriculture has a lot of relatively small direct appropriations. Just last week, I was at a legislative audit meeting from DEED where, again, the recommendation was to try to reduce the number of direct appropriations that are provided by legislative passing of bills. And so what 2579 does, and I think we've heard this even in the Ways and Means Committee recently, where Representative O'Neill would ask, you know, where's your 990? Have you looked at the tax forms, any of those things? That for some of that, we'd set up two grant programs. One is an AgriWorks grant program, and one is AgriSupport. So smaller grants, almost mini grants, to award those grants through the Department of Agriculture rather than through legislative discretion. And I'm fully aware that as legislators, we like to pass bills and we like to have support for things. But to have that same transparency has been asked for in multiple areas that we have an application, we have a grant process, and the awarding of the grant, whether it's a small grant or whether it's a larger grant. The 200, the AgriWorks would be for some of those larger appropriations, and that this would come out of the Agri program. Rather than earmarking individual small appropriations, we would have some reform to make this consistent with other areas with having grant applications. And I'd ask for your support.
Chair Hansen, I see you have an A1 amendment. Would you like to go to questions from members first before the A1, or would you like to move the A1 first?
Why don't we do questions on the original bill first?
So just to clarify, members, we're going to hear on the bill itself, and then we will talk about the A1 after that. So any member questions or clarifications on the current text of the bill before us? Representative Lawrence.
Mr. Chair, and probably a question for MDA more so than anything else is, and I'm just based on how does this change the process that we implement now? I mean, there's a process that as far as anyone that applies for a grant, they've got to go through a process. What is that process? How does this change that process in your viewpoint?
Representative Lawrence, that's a good segue because I should have asked if there was anyone who wanted to testify on the bill before doing that, and I did not. So I apologize to the committee for that. way to remind me. Is there anyone who would like to testify? It looks like we do have someone here. Go ahead. When you're ready, specify your name for the record and either answer Representative Lawrence or give testimony to Phil.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Paul Huguenin. I'm the director of the Ag Marketing and Development Division at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. In response to Representative Lawrence's question, how would this change the process? So as I understood Chair Hansen's description of it, this is kind of an alternative path to what's typically called the earmark section of the pass-through grants in this. And this would create a competitive process for that. So OGM and state law requires us to do a competitive process for anything over $5,000. So rather than having the budget writer say X amount goes to this organization, the department would run a competitive process and any organization could apply for it. So we'd need to develop an RFP saying what are we looking for, et cetera, but it would be a competitive process.
Thank you, Mr. Huguenin. Since that was your question, Rep. Lawrence, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Is there a fiscal note that would go with, you talked about some things that you're going to have to prepare for this. Is there a fiscal note that goes along with that, or is it covered by the grants?
Mr. Huguenin?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lawrence, great question. So as I heard Chair Hansen indicate, this would be a part of the Agri appropriation, which means there's already an admin allowance provided within that. And this would run similar to how we do all the other grant programs within Agri. So there really wouldn't be any additional fiscal note.
Okay.
Representative Lawrence, do you have a follow-up?
Yep, Mr. Chair, one final follow-up. What accountability is with the earmarks now? What does MDA do as far as accountability is giving the money out? If you just hand it or if there is an accountability process at this point in time?
Mr. Huguenin.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lawrence, great question. So a little bit depends on the size of that award. So even if it's an earmark, for example, if it crosses the $50,000 threshold, there's a whole array of things that we need to do ranging from two recent tax returns. If they're required by the Attorney General's office to file an audit, we require that. We check to see that they're in good standing with the Secretary of State. They have to certify that none of the board members or staff with the authority to access grant funds have been convicted of a felony, et cetera. So we would do that for any grant over 50, for all of the awards, we require them to submit a work plan that shows how are they going to spend the money, a budget. And then for all of those, just as with every Agri grant program, we reconcile every request for payment so that we can verify that they've actually paid for what it is they're asking for reimbursement for.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
We have other questions, but Mr. Huguenin, did you have anything more broadly on the bill that you wanted to testify for before we move to other questions?
Mr. Chair, members, no, I'm just happy to answer any questions that you might have.
All right, great. Let's move to Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for your testimony. And I think a lot of us on the Ag Committee kind of pride ourselves on having the smallest pass-through in state government, $2,000 to the poultry breeders. And you talked about submitting plans and whatever. And, you know, if I was going to have to submit my tax documents to get $2,000, I might not bother with it. Would this entail more work for some of these? You know, we have small grants, $36,000 for the livestock breeders. Are we looking for a problem here where there's really none? Or, well, I shouldn't ask. I'm sorry to ask you that question. Tell me what you do to approve a grant like to the poultry breeders.
Mr. Huguenin.
Mr. Chair, Chair Anderson. So with a grant that small, it's pretty straightforward under the current process. They would reach out. They'd say, here's our plan. This is what we plan to do. Once they've, you know, then we create a contract, of course, and then once they've spent it, we verify that they spent the money and we would reimburse them. So to answer your question, there would be more work for the really small awards. And, of course, the biggest thing they'd have to do is compete for that. I mean, we can't write an RFP so narrow that it only identifies one organization could qualify. We'd have to have a truly competitive process.
Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Now, I don't raise chickens. I have nothing to do with raising chickens, but I think they're deserving of a $2,000 grant. And, you know, would you also then, if this bill were to become law, you would take your usual 7.5% admin fee out of these dollar amounts?
Mr. Hugan.
Mr. Chair, Representative Chair Anderson, the way the admin works is it's off of the total. So it's not necessarily off of every individual grant that comes out of here. So if you took any given line item, say it was $490,000 for a bucket, we would probably reduce that 490 by 6.5%, not the individual grant awards, if that makes sense. So the total pool available would decrease by that, but let's say that the Poultry Association were to receive a grant for $2,000, we wouldn't reduce that by 6.5%.
Okay. Chair Anderson.
Just one follow-up. So what you're saying then, Mr. Hugedin, is the award total of $490,000 would be reduced by whatever fees you charge. Okay, thank you.
Any other member discussion before we move to the A1 amendment? Does not look like it. Representative Hansen, you have the A1 author's amendment. Would you like to move that amendment and explain it briefly?
Mr. Chair, I would move the A1 amendment to House File 2579, and members, Representative Anderson and I and Commissioner Peterson were just up at a press conference where we talked about a variety of issues. This is an attempt by our side, on the Democratic side, to make sure that we're looking at three things with this, the testing of milk before the retail sale, looking at providing biomonitoring for the presence of avian influenza for agricultural workers, farm workers, poultry or livestock processing employees that volunteer to participate, so it'd be voluntary, and then looking at the wastewater testing similar to what has been done with COVID. What we just, and I think members have received from the Department of Health, that there are issues where some roles are Department of Ag, some roles are Department of Health. Members, I'm asking you for support of this A1 amendment to continue the work on this, you know, with our timelines and our deadlines. I think this is an important thing where we look at the workers. There are some testing that is going to be done with urban wastewater. And suburban wastewater and rural wastewater. We just had Representative Anderson and I just heard that there were a couple of detects in wastewater in Olmsted County. But the thought was that maybe those were coming from wild birds in the wastewater rather than through people. So having that screen and looking at those impacts is important. I am not wedded to those numbers, but I was looking at, for the baseline, the $4 million that had been in the supplemental budget. So that's why the money adds up to that.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. I will not repeat a mistake I already made, and so I will ask, is there anyone who wants to testify in the A1 amendment? I believe we do have a department who would like to testify. It looks like we're going to the very top. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record when you're ready.
All right. Tom Peterson, Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, coming in a little hot here, but, you know, important issue. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments on the amendment on what we're already doing as agencies and then as you consider this and everything. So on the testing of retail milk, the USDA and the FDA have been doing that, and that's how we've been able to determine that we have not found that pasteurized milk is – you know, is safe for the public to drink. And so the pasteurization has been found to kill the virus. Not to get super controversial here or anything, but I would say, as we see, you know, folks having raw milk around the state, the department has also advised, you know, and worked with farmers that that sell raw milk, that they, you know, pull those sick cows, which they should do anyways, and then also advise consumers to have that conversation with a dairy farmer, what is your plan for that? You may have seen in California when we've talked about this that California, where they had H5N1 in their dairy herds, you know, where they had over 700 of the 900 cows had it, they allow retail sales of raw milk in their stores. People did get sick, kids got sick. And so that is a concern on that. But I did want you to know that there is testing, you know, going on at the USDA and FDA level. On the other piece here on biomonitoring for workers, when workers get sick, and or when not when they get sick, but when we have a positive herd, we work closely with the Department of Health on that surveillance. And again, I just want to reiterate, and we've been doing that since 2022 when the virus came up. And we have not found any positive cases in Minnesota. Iowa and Wisconsin have had positive cases of avian influenza or in humans, but I think it was just one each. But it doesn't mean that we take this very seriously, but I just wanted to let you know that particular work does go on. And the Department of Health is here that they could answer questions on that. And then the final one, we also do, again, working with, as Representative Hansen said, with the Department of Health again, that surveillance in the water system, so that has picked up something we learned about in COVID. And so to saying we couldn't do more and things, but I did think it was important for you to hear what we actually do now. And again, the Department of Health is here too if you have more questions on that. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Commissioner. Can I ask a quick follow-up question? You mentioned the USDA is currently doing testing, but we've heard from previous testimony that I think it was 12 full-time workers were in Minnesota and at least two have been laid off, perhaps one has been. Are those related to those who are doing these functions currently? And maybe the overarching question is, do you still have confidence in the federal government doing this testing that they are catching potential problems?
Mr. Chair and members, as I said today, it's kind of day to day, hour to hour. I just actually got news of another big grant being released, which is good news for farmers and workers too. I think that in most of those cases, if it is tied directly to HPAI or H5N1 and dairy cattle, that those workers are being placed back into the workplace, whether that's at our labs. Our wildlife services was another one. We talked a lot about biosecurity on farms, doing those audits, pieces like that. And so again, on the testing part of it, we've seen those workers reinstated or brought back, and we'll continue to advocate for that. So I do at this time have good confidence in the testing we have. We have a lot of it though, and so you should know too is that when California had the situation they did, Minnesota helped them out. They sent their tests to Minnesota, to our labs, because we have the resources and everything. But we made it very clear to them that if we need our stuff, we need to do our stuff. And so it's a good question, and somebody do have confidence at this time.
Good to hear. Thank you, Commissioner. I know we have some general comments on the amendment. Any questions for the Commissioner to follow up on his testimony before we move on? Doesn't look like it. Did we have anyone from the Department of Health that wanted to testify to this amendment? All right. We'll go forward to general comments. Chair Hansen, do you want to talk to that before we go to member questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I want to thank Commissioner Peterson for highlighting what is being done. The intent here is to try, to put this A1 on so that we can continue the conversation. As we know, almost every day something new happens. Representative Anderson, we heard that this is the fifth year anniversary of one thing and the third year of one thing and the one year of one thing. So if we continue to have a rolling thing in terms of avian influenza impacting our state, it's better to be prepared rather than react later on. So by putting the A1 amendment on, it gives us some flexibility for the conversation to continue. I'd ask for your support.
Thanks, Chair Hansen. Representative Nelson, did you have a question on the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Chair Smith. And, thank you for the Commissioner Peterson for the update on that. And I think, a lot of things that, the A1 is talking about is already being done by the Department of Ag or the Department of Health. And I think coming out of COVID and the monitoring of wastewater and things like that, we've seen that continuing monitoring of other pathogens as well. And I think that's been important to see. And I see that it's already happening. So I'm not sure how that, this amendment is really as applicable as maybe some think it is.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Vice Chair Harder.
Whoops, sorry with the whole mic thing.
It always comes around.
Every room is different. Okay, can you please explain how did you come up with the different amounts for the areas?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Harder. So looking at, we had a total amount of a supplemental budget of $4 million. So I divided that, and that the biomonitoring and the rapid testing would be a larger task. So that's what I divided those up, the 1.5 and the testing of the retail milk at 1.5. And then the urban wastewater, because we've already done COVID testing, and that's there, that's the smaller amount. Those amounts that, and that's why I'm asking to put this on, is to get a more accurate information so that we can move forward on these parts, whether the state does it or whether the federal does it or both do it.
Vice Chair Harder.
Thank you, Chair Smith, and thank you for that answer. I just have one other thing. On line 1.10, it's just a technical thing. I think we're missing the year. It's just a comment. Thank you.
Any response, Chair?
I would defer to nonpartisan staff.
Mr. Savory, Mr. Mollenbach?
Chair and members, on line 1.10, to make the amendment more operational, it would be potentially adding between the word year, adding the phrase 2026, and then complete the sentence.
Mr. Chair, if I could incorporate that into the A1 amendment so that we have that.
Sure. So Chair Hansen has, we're doing a verbal amendment to the A1 amendment. I think everyone will be okay with that. If everyone is all right with that amendment, go ahead and say aye.
Could you repeat aye?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So the official, well, actually, I'll just go, Mr. Chair, can you repeat that for, Ms. Mollenbach?
So the oral amendment would be page 1, line 10, after the word year, insert 2026.
So I'm being told that's been incorporated into this amendment. So again, that is the fiscal year 2026 being added to line 1.10. Thank you, Vice Chair Harder, for catching that. Chair Anderson, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am not going to oppose this amendment, but I do want to ask a question. I think you mentioned too, Representative or Chair Nelson, that this adds up to $4 million out of the general fund. And the governor just proposed a couple of days ago $4 million in the ag emergency account. Is this your use of that emergency fund to these three particular items?
Chair Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, it'd be my intent to find this elsewhere in the budget.
Chair Anderson.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair. And I guess what goes around comes around. You're giving us grief for adding to the budget and whatever, and you're doing the same thing. And I, you know, your topics here are good. They're good, timely topics. But again, I think we're all trying to come up with the same thing to do the best thing we can with the funding available. But I just had to ask about the coincidence of the $4 million and the $4 million. So thank you.
And Mr. Chair.
Do you have a follow-up, Chair?
And Representative Anderson, and to be clear, I do not expect that these numbers will be the final numbers.
Representative Lawrence, did you have a question on the A1 amendment?
Mr. Chair, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, Chair Hansen. Just a couple. I kind of picked up, the department isn't asking for these numbers as of right now. Is that correct? The department has not come with a request. Or any of the departments that were referenced here have not come with a request.
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Lawrence. No, we had actually brought this up, I think, previously at a meeting of these components. We still have that. We just discussed it upstairs. So we continue to have conversations with the department, but it is not a department initiative. Their support is for the governor's budget.
No further questions. Thank you.
All right. So I believe we are going to now move to accept the A1 amendment, unless there is any final questions. The A1 as amended, to clarify.
We didn't approve the amendment.
I was told, Chair Anderson, that since it is incorporated into an existing amendment, we do not need to vote on it separately. Is that correct?
We have to vote on the A1.
We haven't voted on the A1. That's what we're about to do. I'm simply saying we haven't voted on the amended language. The fiscal year 2026 is that's my clarifying. Does that make sense? So the A1 as amended, which includes in line 1.10, fiscal year 2026. So that is incorporated into the A1, which we'll vote on now. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say everything no. Amendment is adopted. Now we are going to go to discussion on the general bill. Chair Hansen, would you like to state anything further?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you for the A1. This will continue to be a work in progress. And so the amounts that are here, things are changing in terms of what is available. We don't know our targets yet. I don't know, Representative Anderson, when we will. But having the competitive grant process, I think, may provide for more people to get involved rather than those who are just able to get a bill introduced. So I'd ask for your support for House File 2579 as amended.
So this will be laid over if possible inclusion. So I see Representative Lawrence first, and then Chair Innes would like to say something as well. Go ahead, Representative Lawrence.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen, and this is just kind of a fundamental question for me. These two bills, the amendment, and then this bill here, seem to come from different worlds in the regards that this is talking about making a grant program that's competitive. This is talking about three specific earmarks to departments. And one, I'm not comfortable with the amounts, but we already discussed that, right? Two, I'm very uncomfortable with putting two bills together, which are different worlds. They really are worlds apart, especially when we discussed the 2578. We heard the presentation of that, had discussion on that. This is completely opposite. And my request would be to pull the amendment just simply because of that reasoning. I mean, and somebody else may think differently. Staff may be able to correct me. I don't know. But when I look at this, these are worlds apart when you look at the fundamental premise of both. They should be two different bills in and amongst themselves. And so that's my comment. If Chair Hansen would like to comment on that, I just see them as two different arenas. Thank you.
Thanks, Representative Lawrence. I think that's why we tried to do sort of them as separate as possible, and we had testimony on both. And that was our thinking there. Of course, when we get a budget bill, a lot of these things will be incorporated in one bill as well. So I'm sure that's what Chair Hansen is trying to get as many of the objectives he has into a bill being heard today. But Chair Hansen, you go ahead and explain if you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. They're both budget bills. This is the second of two hearings that are allocated to the DFL side of the aisle. We pulled policy bills in order to get the budget because at the end of the day, the budget is what we have to do. We continue to have conversations, Representative Anderson and I, on if we can get another committee hearing in, but this may be it for all of us. And many of us did not get bills until last week and couldn't even get them introduced. So that's why. And this is custom and usage. These are budget bills. They're not a policy bill. And that's why we've had them in front of us. The Chair Smith handled them differently. We didn't just automatically put on the amendment so they would have that. So I'd ask for your support to lay this over. That is the custom and usage that's usually given to an author on these bills.
Chair Anderson, did you want to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of comments, and yeah, I support laying the bill over. And you know, we've heard a few times that you didn't get your bills heard or didn't get them in on time. You missed the first 4 weeks, and we had have our bills redrafted, but got them done. So, you know, things have consequences. And, you know, when we got going together, we didn't have a whole lot of committee meetings left, and we're going to miss next Monday not having a committee meeting. So, yeah, it's challenging, but again, things are what they are. And I just want to throw out a word of caution for whatever it's worth. Chair Hansen and I were at the press conference today, and in the media was there. There were all kinds of TV cameras and questions, and a question was raised about a finding of H5N1, a strand of virus in some wastewater, someplace in Minnesota. And the Department of Health was there and really, I think, quickly kind of put the concern to rest, saying that they thought it was from a waterfowl passing over and dropping. And they had done a retest a week later, and there was no H5N1 virus in the wastewater. So here we're past, they're laying a bill over today that allocates $1 million for risk assessment and urban wastewater and drinking water treatment processes in public and private wells, which I think some could take as a deep concern. But as of right now, according to the Department of Health, it's not a big concern. And the other piece on line 4, 1.4 of the amendment, testing of milk before retail sale, and we've been fully told or confirmed that pasteurizing does in fact kill the virus. And, you know, I don't want to picture a testing truck up in the back of the Red Owl store here testing milk as it's hauled into the store. I mean, again, the milk is safe, but here we're appropriating money to test milk before the retail sale. Not quite sure where that would be in the process, but again, let's not cry uncle here when so far at least things are pretty well under control. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Any other member comments on the bill as amended before we move to Chair Hansen for closing comments? All right, Chair Hansen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd ask for your support to continue working on these important topics.
Chair Hansen renews his motion that House File 2579 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill. The bill is laid over. We have one more bill on the calendar for the day. That is House File 2281. That is also a Chair Hansen bill. Chair Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had moved that House File 2281 be laid over for possible inclusion. This is the governor, the agency bill for policy, and it relates to a number of provisions relating to livestock dealers, meatpacking plants, license refusal, record keeping. The department is here if you would like to have them testify. And then it also repeals the rabies proclamation and branded livestock that we've heard before.
So it looks like we do have testifiers for this bill. Would the department like to testify? It looks like Ms. Babel is making her way up. Excuse me, Ms. Medina is making her way up. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record and speak to the bill.
Thank you, Chair Smith and members. My name is Michelle Medina, and I serve as Director of Government Relations for the Department of Ag. Just want to thank Chair Hansen for carrying our bill. This is just a policy bill, a lot of technical changes that we have, so we're available if anyone has any questions.
Members, any question for the department at this time? Chair Anderson, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Ms. Medina, could you please just give us a 10,000-foot? There's some big words in there. Could you explain what some of them are?
Ms. Medina, how does this look at 10,000 feet?
Yes, Chair Smith, Chair Anderson. So staff helped me write these, so this is a lot of their work, not mine, because it's a lot of big words. So this bill has, it deletes some obsolete statutes for rabies proclamation and the branded livestock. For the rabies statute or the rabies proclamation, it's much quicker to do this electronically versus posting it publicly, so it's much better for public health if we do this electronically, which is why we're moving that. And then for the brands, we do not allow brands as official ID. We had new RDIF tags that we use for brands or for ID, so brands are obsolete. And then for the technical changes to Chapter 17A licensing and bonding provisions, this is to address the licensing of livestock packers, marketing agencies, dealers, and agents. These changes will help modernize the statute and licensing and enforcement provisions to align with current available enforcement tools and other remedies when bond claims are made. And then for the food certificate payment options, this would amend Municipal Statute 28A.081 to modernize payment options for requested food certificates. So this allows us to use modernized payment options such as direct online payments, which would reduce the financial administrative steps for people requesting, as well as for the agency. So this just helps with efficiency. So instead of having to send out a bill to them, they can just pay online when they request their license. So makes it easier, or the certificate, excuse me, it's easier for everyone. And then for the food product sampling demonstrations, this is amending Municipal Statute 28A.151, Subdivision 2. There was a grammatical correction applied in the 2024 legislative session that resulted in changing the intended meaning of a sentence about the preparation of food samples. So this is just to correct what we intended it to say, and that's all it is. So it was just a very small amendment. Then I have other staff available for questions if you have anything on more details.
Thank you, Ms. Medina. Follow-up, Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Medina, in the research summary, it talks a couple of places about the Livestock Market Agency and Dealer Licensing Act. I got a couple of good sales barns back in the district and the weekly sales place for folks to gather. Will this have any impact on our sales barns?
Looks like we may be phoning a friend from the department.
Yes, please.
When said friend reaches, go ahead and identify yourself for the record and to Chair Anderson's question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. My name is Dr. Nicole Leeser. I'm the director of the Dairy and Meat Inspection Division, and we also cover the livestock licensing program at MDA. So generally, those kinds of businesses are licensed under this program. This bill actually provides clarification about which provides more modern terms to match up with those businesses now, but it does not require any new businesses to be licensed or change any of the licensing provisions for those businesses. So it's basically just adjusting the terminology.
Thank you, Dr. Neisser. Follow-up, Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The question, does it raise fees?
Dr. Neisser?
Mr. Chair, Representative, no, it does not raise fees.
Thank you.
Was someone trying to get my attention for a question over there for a moment ago? Okay. Just want to make sure we're not going anywhere else. Would you like to add anything else, Ms. Medina, to your testimony? All right. Members, or I should say any members of the public that would also like to testify to this bill. All right. Doesn't appear so. We will now move to questions from members on the bill itself. All right, doesn't look like there are follow-up questions. Chair Hansen, would you like to say anything finally on your bill?
Ask for your support.
Chair Hansen renews his motion that House File 2281 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill. The bill is laid over. That's our final bill on the calendar for the day. Chair Hansen, do you have any further announcements for the committee? Chair Anderson, anything else you'd like to say?
Mr. Chair, I think I'm correct in saying we have no committee meeting next Monday. So our next meeting will be a week from today, I believe.
That's correct. We are not meeting on Monday for the holiday. And so with that, we will see you all next Wednesday, and we are adjourned.